Will Netflix stop asking if we are still watching?
Is Airbnb the worst?
Will Paul and Garrett continue to wow you with their acting abilities?
All this and more coming up on today's No Vacation Days podcast. PM on Saturday, April 11th. Welcome to our humble podcast. I'm Paul, and with me this afternoon, my fellow co-host, Garrett.
Hello.
What up?
Man, I'm so pumped about this episode. It's going to be great.
Why?
Oh, we've just got some great things in store for the listeners today.
I agree. But I think our listeners are questioning, like, why did all of our names change?
Who are we?
I don't know.
What are we?
We're whatever we want to be.
If you're looking for the Starting 11 podcast, you're in the wrong place, buddy. We are now the No Vacation Days podcast.
No. Why? Yep. Why do we have to do that?
Well, I'm glad you asked, Paul. So we decided that it'd be best to kind of open this thing up. You know, we didn't want to be constricted. Last thing you want to do is put us in a box.
Yeah, we do not like being put in boxes. I don't like boxes.
Nobody puts Garrett and Paul in a corner. I've always said this. So we've decided that we're going to revamp things and just open it up and, you know, give us a way to connect to the listeners and connect to our friends who also listen a little bit better.
Acting.
Acting.
Yeah. We decided to, open it up, like you said, Garrett, and make it a little bit more. We're still going to talk about like Liverpool. Don't get me wrong. But also we're going to talk about some other things and make it a little bit less, like you said, in a box.
Yeah.
Because we're just going to jump right out of boxes. Yeah.
Less predictable. You know, we're unpredictable.
Some wild cards.
Some wild cards. Exactly. All right, Paul, what do you say we get into this thing?
All right, let's do it. Topic number one, binge watching. So Americans have streamed 85% more minutes of video in March 2020 than in March 2019. The domestic box office, so the movie theaters, brought in a whopping $5,100 for the week of March 20th to the 26th. That's down 100% from $204 million the same week a year ago.
You know what's weird, Paul?
What?
I called the theater right next to my apartment and told them I'd pay $5,101 if Macy and I could go in there and just throw on Contagion. We can make our own popcorn and everything. But they said no, which I thought was odd.
Yeah, they're probably scared of you. COVID-19. But isn't that crazy? I mean, in the same week, down 100%. That's just insane. I've read where a lot of like movie theaters are saying that they're going to go bankrupt. Destroying a lot of movie theaters.
Businesses that we love.
Yeah.
I mean, the domestic, so the 5,100 is for the entire country, right?
Yeah.
That's crazy. That is crazy.
I mean, it's all shut down. I mean, actually, who went? Like, who spent the money?
That's what I'm wondering. I have heard, I think that, those drive-in movie theaters are still open, or at least some of them. So maybe that's what the $5,100 is accounting for. Who knows?
Maybe. Topic number two, Zoom. In December 2019, Zoom had a maximum of 10 million daily participants. In the month of March 2020, it hit more than 200 million. 200 million. That's crazy. A lot of that is actually with the immense growth has come serious concerns of privacy with a lot of people like hacking into Zoom calls and like saying like random gibberish, playing videos, like craziness and like corporate, you know, like Fortune 500 company, like teleconferences, like people are hacking in and like just creating all sorts of panic and like and disruption. It's pretty silly. So I thought this was really interesting. Some other uses of Zoom during this COVID-19 stuff. People are playing, like having game nights, having concerts of musical artists. And in fact, Lindsay and I have tuned in for a lot of the musical artists on like Instagram and also Zoom. And have you heard of this other platform called Stage It?
I've not heard of Stage It, actually. No.
Well, basically, like musical artists can use it to continue to like get paid and like playing and like going on tour, but like virtually. I thought it was really interesting. Others, like there's been wedding ceremonies on Zoom. Of course, the receptions. You've got school graduations, meditation, doctor's appointments, and dance parties. Crazy. Proving that one only needs to go Zoom to have a good time.
Zoom.
A little trivia for you, Garrett.
Okay.
So a Navy hospital ship, home to 1,000 beds and 1,200 medical staff, sailed into New York Harbor a couple weeks ago. What is the name? A, USS Disaster Relief. B, Intrepid. C, USNS Comfort. Or D, the Black Pearl.
Okay, well, I can cancel out the Black Pearl. I know that's not it. I don't know. Disaster Relief sounds good, but is it C, Comfort?
No, you got it again. You're batting 1,000. You're batting 1,000 on this podcast.
Wow, I was very unsure about that, actually.
Damn. So in New York, it's become kind of the epicenter of the global pandemic with cases rising, but so what they did is they sailed in the USNS Comfort for more hospital beds in New York City.
Very nice. Very nice. I can say that I had a little help. I've been practicing all week by watching Jeopardy nonstop almost. So just getting in the mindset of answering trivia questions. That's good.
All right, last and final news topic, and then we're going to keep it light. But topic number three, pizza, me so hungry. Yesterday, Uber released a new feature that will help U.S. drivers find work both in its other divisions and at companies not at all affiliated with Uber. The program, called the Work Hub, will connect workers to about 15 companies nationwide that are hiring in volume, including Domino's, Amazon, and Walgreens. It'll also link drivers to internal opportunities like Uber Eats, Uber Freight, and Uber Works. It's essentially for temporary staffing opportunities. So the backstory is, as you can imagine, when COVID-19 hit, the demand for ride sharing and ride hauling was like fell off a cliff. there was no demand for it. So what Uber basically did was, okay, well, our drivers don't have jobs anymore, but we can create new jobs for them, which I think is really cool. In fact, we ordered a pizza a couple of weeks ago from Domino's. No, from Papa John's. that's a specific detail that needs to be in the podcast. But anyway, they had a job ad on top of the box, and it was like $16 an hour.
Wow.
And you can keep like all tips and all of the mileages reimbursed. And I was just thinking, you know, I'm on furlough for 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. And I was just thinking to myself, what if I was a pizza delivery guy, you know, like making $16 an hour, like tips and mileage reimbursement? It's not bad. It came across my mind, you know, but anyway,
gotta make money, man.
Yeah, you got to make money.
that's interesting. We've been doing pickup orders from this small local restaurant here in Denton, a little South American food action. Really, really good. So we've been getting them. I think we've been about 5 times since the quarantine.
Yeah, people got to
go in there. We'll be getting food from there tomorrow for Easter, a little Easter celebratory.
Nice.
Empanadas.
Nice. Yeah. Happy Easter weekend to everybody, to the great listeners of the pod.
Absolutely.
So yeah, that's our three topics of news that we deemed was important. So Garrett, you want to keep it light?
Let's keep it light, Paul.
All right. So Airbnb,
Speaking of not light.
Yeah, speaking of not light, let's get real like, serious real quick.
Light a fire under my butt more like. Let's go.
Yeah, Airbnb. Oh, man. I've got some stories for you. But let's hear your story first. Your experience. Okay. Yeah.
Yeah, my experience. So Macy's brother was set to be married, I think, the first week of May. And they've since had to postpone because of coronavirus, COVID-19. And so we all, their whole side of the family, including me, were set to go. It's in San Antonio. We were set to be in the Airbnb, and Airbnb refused to give Macy's dad his money back. And he was fighting him for like a week, you know, back and forth emails. Mm. And then he finally decided, you know what, I'm going to get in contact with the actual owner of the house. Mm-hmm. So he did. And the owner of the house was like, well, we accepted your refund like
really
last week. Yeah. And he said, well, that's not what Airbnb is saying. So then now he's got the homeowner and himself emailing Airbnb trying to get this refund. And they're still saying, oh no, we can't do that. We can't do that. And then it finally took, I believe it was a call to Airbnb, not just emails. And with email proof of the interactions between Macy's dad and the homeowner, mm-hmm. saying, you know, we're fine giving you the refund, that Airbnb finally said, okay, we'll do it. But I mean, that was...
Wait, so they are getting a refund?
They are getting a refund. What? It took... Yeah.
That's a much happier ending than my story.
Yeah, I know. actually, both of my experiences end with them getting refunds. There was also Macy's brother's bachelor party.
We're here to diss Airbnb, so I don't want to hear you diss. I'm happy the refund was had. But
Airbnb sucks because they lied for 2 weeks to Macy's dad about this.
That's crazy.
Saying, oh, we didn't even get permission from the homeowner. So just crazy.
But they did.
But they did, yeah. Yeah. And then finally, like, they had to be caught lying, basically, to finally admit it. And
that's insane. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so a similar situation happened with Macy's brother for his bachelor party. The best man had booked a place in Denver. And mm-hmm. We were supposed to go April 13th, which... If you're familiar, April 14th was the cutoff to get.
Oh, I'm familiar with the policy. Yep.
Yeah. April 14th was the cutoff to get the refund. So again, the best man fought Airbnb as much as he could. Didn't work. Then he got in contact with the owner of the house. And the owner of the house was kind enough to issue the refund.
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. So... No thanks to Airbnb. Everyone on my end of this gets their money back.
Well, good.
But on the flip side, the airlines, for anyone who already bought the plane tickets to the bachelor party, the airlines have been pretty rough on getting their refunds. You really just have to reschedule instead of a refund. So anyway, Paul.
Wow.
Tell me your story. Your story is a lot worse.
Yeah, I've got a couple stories about Airbnb. So really, before about a year and a half ago, I was a great friend of Airbnb.
Oh yeah,
had a lot of good experiences, good times, a lot of laughs. But it all started. Well, hang on. Let me talk about the most recent one, and then we'll talk about the other one. So, as you know, Garrett, Lindsay and I's 1 year anniversary comes up in May.
I did know that.
So, you know, I was, you know, trying to be a good husband, and we're planning a 1 year anniversary trip, and we booked it back in, I want to say it was January or February of this year. So we had planned to go on a trip to Boston. Little did we know. Of course, all this mess happens with a global pandemic. But even before, so we booked it before March 14th, for the last week of April. and the first week of May. So we ended up canceling on March 11th because we have some personal reasons why we had to cancel, but also there was a global pandemic on the rise. So we knew that, hey, it probably is not the best thing to travel. So did the rest of the earth. You know, everybody has stopped traveling. So we canceled. And everybody's like, that we talked to is like, oh, yeah, it's fine. Like, it's good that you canceled. You know, Airbnb said, yes, we need you to cancel. That way we can get you a refund. Well, little did we know, we had to then, like you've said in your story, you had to request a refund from the host. Well, of course, the host, you would think, would be a decent human being, but he ended up saying, no, I'm not going to refund you the money. I'm going to keep the money. So we ended up paying $709 for nothing, like no service, nothing. Usually, you know, in a transaction, usually pay something for something in return. We paid something for nothing. So we're out of the pocket, $709. And this has been a 3-week war, messaging war with, I'm still doing it, like to this day, messaging war with Airbnb. I've gone through about 4 or 5 customer support specialists. I'm saying, listen, and they even have been revising their policy like every couple weeks or so. And so we qualify now for a full refund. But they're claiming that because we canceled before March 11th or whenever the, but I was like, I have the messages that state, but you guys told me to cancel it. Like, you were the ones who said, no, you need to go ahead and cancel the trip. Then we can get you the refund. But now they're claiming, oh, well, you canceled it, so we can't get you a refund. And it's nuts. So anyway, my wife, she's posted to Airbnb online. And Airbnb's actually responded, I guess, on Facebook. And she's got, like, we got a bunch of, like, internet warriors. What do you call those people who are, like, your warriors on the internet? I guess comment warriors, whatever.
I have no idea.
On Facebook, and people are like reposting it and stuff. And anyway, Airbnb responds to a post and they said, oh, hi there, we'd like to take a closer look. If you still need any help, can you please send us a
yes, private I still message? Do need
yeah,
help.
It's just crazy. And so they posted that in the comment section for everybody to see it. But I told Lindsay, it was like, once if they actually you know, go back and revisit this, we need to post in this comment section. And again, like, oh, look, they looked at it, but they did nothing about it. Or else they're just going to look good on a comment section. Oh, look, we're taking care of it. We feel like it's just an automated bot who's like programmed to find those comments and then send a copy and pasted message. So yeah. Anyway, right now we're out of all that money. And it's not the right thing to do. You know, it's really disheartening that somebody would just take your money like that.
Especially all things considered. I mean, you got millions of people out of a job.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. Oh, and they also posted something about some PR move. We're going to provide free housing for all of the healthcare workers who need a place to stay, you know, traveling nurses and stuff. And I responded in the message. My wife is a nurse, and they're just like, they're just taking our claim and like throwing it in the trash. It's so disheartening. So anyway, that's the current status of Airbnb. I know you guys are going to be listening to this pod. Just do the right thing. That's my message.
Yeah, they only want to provide for nurses on their terms, right?
Right. Yeah.
Garrett, they only want to do it when they say they want to do it.
Yeah, exactly. Their policy is only there to protect themselves. It's not there to protect the customers. Anyway. Oh, I got another story about Airbnb.
Go for it.
All right. So on our honeymoon May 2019, I had booked through Airbnb. And this is before I ever had any trouble with Airbnb. And we went to Charleston, South Carolina. So everything was cool. The first half of the trip, we stayed outside of the city close to one of the beaches. And then the second half of the trip, we stayed like in downtown Charleston to be close to everything down there. Everything was going fine that first half of the trip. It was beautiful. Charleston is beautiful. We loved it. Mm. And then the second half of the trip happened. God. And we ended up staying at this place called the Eagle's Nest. In downtown Charleston. My wife and I have never been. We didn't know what the area was like in Charleston, but apparently it's not that it's not super safe. Anyway, we show up. We end up driving down this really sketchy street. And, you know, Lindsay and I are looking at each other like, we don't really know about this. But, you know, we wanted to just continue. You know, we mustered up enough courage to stay there for one night. We're going to stay there for three total nights. And it was right next to this hospital downtown. So we stay there, and there's this, it's like this really sketchy, like, parking lot place. The inside of the condo that we were staying at was really nice. Don't get me wrong. But the outside and everywhere else was not that great.
At least if you got into trouble, the hospital was right there.
Yeah. Yeah. So anyway, we're there for a night, go to sleep. And I couldn't really, I don't know what else to call it, but just like a feeling I had of like something was going to happen. And I say that in full truth. Like I thought something was going to happen.
Anyway, intuition.
It was intuition. So we go to bed, and I hear this helicopter. of course, we're close to a hospital, so there's a landing pad on top of the hospital. Zoom past us, and it woke us both up. And, you know, it's cool. It was just a helicopter close to the hospital. All right, cool, cool. So woke us up, and then we both fall asleep. And I would say about 10 or 15 minutes later, all of a sudden, I get up from the bed, like, in a moment of just, I just had to get up. And I got up out of the bed, and I went straight to the window. I never do this. Like, I would never do that. It sounds so unlike me. I get up out of bed, go straight to the window, and I look down at the parking lot to where we parked. And it's a long kind of driveway. It's more like an alley to this parking lot, downtown Charleston. And as soon as I peer out that window, down the alley, I see a guy on a bicycle.
Oh, no.
And, you know, nothing too sketchy about this. Just a guy, you know, riding a bicycle at 1 a.m. in the morning.
Middle of the night.
and it's a main road right there. But then he takes a left down our alley to the parking lot. This is a dead end. There's nowhere to go. So I guess I was thinking to myself, is he just going to do a loop and go back? And he keeps coming down. And again, I'm up here at like the eagle's nest, like literally like an eagle looking down into the parking lot with my mouth open at this point. Like, what is this guy doing? And he goes and there was some trash cans on the alley. And this guy is cool as a cucumber, right? He is just in no rush. He's just enjoying the night. He just gets off his bike and puts it against the trash cans there. And he's just walking around the parking lot, and he starts pulling on car doors.
Oh.
And again, I'm sitting here just watching it all happen. and he pulls on some car doors, and he opens one car that wasn't ours. Opens it, just helps himself to whatever's inside. He goes through the glove box, through the console. And at this point, I'm like, Lindsay, like, wake up. And so she's like, what's going on? And I'm like, shh, you gotta be quiet. and then I go back to the window to look at again. Guess whose car he's in at this point?
Oh, God.
He's in our car. And he's in my car. I'm looking down from the eagle's nest, looking at the stranger who's just rummaging through all of our stuff in my car. Well, I didn't have a whole lot in there. Like my privacy at that point, I've never like felt that way before. Like looking at something that was mine and just somebody completely taking advantage of it. It was like this. I'm so like, what's the right word? I was just like taking advantage of is the best way I can say it. And so I grab my phone and I call the police, and I kind of go downstairs. There's a two-story kind of condo. I go downstairs and I'm by the door because I don't know if this guy's going to try to like get into the places. I don't know. And anyway, the police come. They ended up catching him. there at the end of the alleyway because it was a dead end. So you had to go back out the way you came in. They ended up catching him. Long story short, I ended up IDing the guy in the back of a cop car. I have the photo, Garrett. I'll send it to you after this. I have a photo of me in the back of a cop car IDing this guy with a police officer. And anyway, they busted him, and that was, we found out that was like his fourth or fifth time he'd been doing that. So then it qualifies for like a felony. So he ended up going to prison.
Wow.
And the police,
you know who he's going after as soon as he gets out.
No. They promised me that I'm in some witness protection program.
Are you going off to witness protection? You
know, that I'm in some sort of like he'll never get my information. Who knows? But anyway, that's how we spent one night of our honeymoon. I was in the back of a cop car, and I ended up taking a selfie in the back of the cop car.
Oh my God.
Cause I was like, this is never going to happen again. Like Lord willing, of course. And so anyways, that was what happened.
So two things
yeah,
I noticed.
Yeah, sure.
One, you waited until he got to your car to call the cops.
I mean, he was going pretty fast. I so couldn't believe
other people's
it.
Cars you didn't care about.
No, I definitely cared about that car. Other cars. But I mean, think about it. You were like, I was in shock. Like at one moment, yeah. I was like, am I dreaming? Like, is this really
what
happening?
What is this guy doing?
Like, is this really happening? Like, why did I wake up at the exact moment that this guy decides to turn left down our alleyway to come to our cars? Like, weird.
Yeah. And that's the second thing. That's what's crazy to me is that, you know, growing up, I lived on a cul-de-sac, and I was always told that that's super safe because burglars or thieves or whatever only have one way out. So they're going to pick other streets that aren't one way, you know, like that's why dead ends get robbed less, I guess. So it's crazy to me that this guy was dumb enough to go into a one exit alleyway to just start rummaging through cars at 1 a.m.
Yeah.
Also, 1 a.m. doesn't seem late enough to me to be doing that.
Yeah, I don't
like,
know.
Like, tons of people are still awake at 1 a.m.
He ended up, or the cops ended up telling me that this guy had been like a known criminal before, and also for months around that same area, there had been a lot of break-ins and a lot of thefts, and they're like, this is definitely the guy who's been doing this. So I ended up like getting a lot of people justice, I guess you could say, of all their stolen stuff. And which is really crazy.
Hero Paul.
But anyway, Airbnb. Let's tie this back. Oh, thanks. Thank you, Garrett. Let's tie this back to Airbnb. I ended up calling them. And I was like, listen, guys, this is what happened. We're kind of freaked out, you know, a little just paranoid of staying there another night. In that area, it's in a town we've never been in, and I'm like, listen, we're gonna go to another hotel. I mean, it's our honeymoon, for crying out loud, you know, we want to have like peace of mind and enjoy ourselves. And so anyway, we ended up going to another hotel, and I'm like, guys, can we get our money back, basically? And I get a response from Airbnb. Well, it's not like he got away with it or like he stole any of your stuff, like you got him. And then they kept on talking. It's like, it's not like anybody else. No, he said, nobody else is complaining. We have other Airbnb right next to you guys and nobody else is complaining like this to us.
What?
And I'm like, are you kidding me right now? Like nobody would have even, like, who knows what else this guy would have done in that area if I hadn't have woken up and caught this guy. Like he could have broken into the other places and like in for, you know, God forbid, into our condo or somebody else's condo right there in that area. And they ended up only giving us a refund for one day, even though we were there for 3 days and we only spent like one night there. And
wow.
It was crazy. Anyway, Airbnb, I'm not sure they
suck.
Yeah, they suck. They suck. And we should have learned our lesson on that time. Of course, we wanted to go to Boston, and the hotels up in Boston are like super expensive. So the Airbnb was a little bit cheaper. And so we said, hey, you know what? Let's just do it. And look what happened.
Yeah. And that's the thing, like that's how Airbnb gets you. It's like they've got all these cool houses to show you in the places that you want to go, and they're usually cheaper than a hotel, but then you have to deal with the horrible customer service if anything goes wrong.
Yeah.
So Airbnb, unless you want to sponsor the pod, you suck. But even then, you're going to have to convince us.
Money back.
You're going to have to convince us.
Yeah. Anyway, Airbnb, what you going to do?
Well.
All right. You want to get into some acting?
Acting. Just going to do that every time, I guess.
I guess so.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
So the scene we chose to act out today, it's from Forrest Gump, beloved movie.
Great movie.
Tom Hanks.
Roll Tide.
Robin Wright. Alabama football. It's got it all.
Ice cream.
Okay. Ice cream. There is ice cream. Okay.
All right. So you want me to get it started?
Yeah.
Set the scene.
Let me find my place.
We have to set the scene. Get really serious now. Okay. We're acting.
We're acting.
This isn't some joke.
Never.
This is us exploring. I would
never joke.
This is us exploring truth through character. Let's find our truth in this scene, Garrett. Forrest continues with his life story. A man is sitting next to Forrest on the bus bench.
That's all I have to say about that.
It was a bullet, wasn't it?
A bullet?
That jumped up and bit you.
Oh, yes, sir. Bit me directly in the buttocks. They said it was a $1 million wound, but the army must keep that money, because I still ain't seen a nickel of that $1 million. The only good thing about being wounded in the buttocks is the ice cream. They gave me all the ice cream I could eat. And guess what? A good friend of mine was in the bed right next door.
Forrest, lying on his stomach, is wheeled to his bed. His butt sticks up and is bandaged. He looks at Lieutenant Dan lying on the bed. And he holds up his ice cream cone for Lieutenant Dan.
Lieutenant Dan, I got you some ice cream. Lieutenant Dan, ice cream.
And scene. Well done.
Oh,
well
man.
Done.
Thank acting. You, thank you. Acting. Just, you know, don't forget to think of me next time the Oscars are coming around.
I think of you every time they come around.
And for any of you directors and casting guys out there, just, you know, Garrett Howard, look me up. I'm available.
I got a podcast. All right. So thank you, Garrett, for that great thespian ability, sharing that with the world.
Thank you, Paul, for giving me this platform.
I'm a giver. What can I say? All right. So our last and final section, we just want to take some time to really honor a great listener and friend of the pod, Kanye West. Shout out, Kanye. In his honor, we want to leave our listeners with some wise words from one of his recent songs. I will now present this in more of a spoken word delivery.
I think this is going to be beautiful.
Listen to this quote. Closed on Sunday, you're my Chick-fil-A. Closed on Sunday, you my Chick-fil-A. Hold the selfies, put the gram away, get your family, y'all hold hands and pray. When you got daughters, always keep them safe. Watch out for vipers. Don't let them indoctrinate. Closed on Sunday. You my Chick-fil-A. This is my favorite part. Listen, you're my number one with the lemonade. With the lemonade. With the lemonade. With the lemonade.
Speaks to the soul.
Every time.
Every time.
And with that, this is Peej and Jihao wishing our listeners a happy Easter weekend. We are signing off until next time.
Subscribe on Apple Podcasts, follow us on Spotify, and go ahead and give us an Instagram follow while you're at it, at No Vacation Days Podcast. You can find us at No Vacation Days on Apple Podcasts and Spotify as well. This was nice, Paul.
Indeed.
Bye.